It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, November 21st, 2022. In our marine weather forecast, we have a weak front approaching our waters today. A stronger front will bring increasing southerly winds and steeper seas tonight into Tuesday, so we could see some rain this week. But high pressure will return to our waters midweek, and that usually means more sunshine. We'll just have to see how it goes. Today's marine forecast includes southeast winds, 5 to 10 knots, wind waves from the southeast, 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, west swells 4 feet. At 10 seconds apart. And today we're going to be talking more about ship operating costs. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 7 inbound vessels, we have 4 outbounders, and we have 10 vessels anchored in the river near Astoria. Our first arrival in the river is a bulk carrier arriving from China called the Yangtze Xingzhang. She's going to be picking up wheat upriver, but she's headed right now for Astoria's anchorage. She got there at about 5:30 a.m. The Johnny Trader is arriving from Russia today. She's another wheat carrier headed for Portland. She will pass Astoria around 8:30 a.m. and be in Portland by about 2:30 this afternoon. The Texas Voyager is arriving from San Francisco, headed for Portland. She's a petroleum tanker passing Astoria around 10:30 a.m. and in Portland by about 4:30 this afternoon. The Crimson Delight is arriving from China, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She's another wheat carrier, and she will probably be in Astoria's anchorage by about 11 a.m. today. The RCC Africa is a car carrier arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for Vancouver, Washington. She has Subarus on board, and she will pass Astoria around noontime and be in Vancouver by about 6 p.m. And the African Rook is arriving from China, headed for Vancouver's anchorage. She'll ultimately go to the port of Portland to pick up potash for export. She will pass Astoria around 3:30 p.m. and be in Vancouver by about 9:30 this evening. And the Berge Yotei is arriving from Everett, headed for the Crims Island anchorage, a little bit downriver from Longview. And she will be picking up wheat upriver. She'll pass Astoria around 9:30 this evening and be at the Crims Island anchorage a little bit after midnight, so early Tuesday morning. In our outbounders, we have the MSC Long Beach 6 leaving Portland with containers on board. She is leaving around 3 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 a.m. The Atalanta is leaving Longview carrying wheat. She's leaving around 6 a.m., could pass Astoria outbound around 9:30 a.m. And the ATB Sound Reliance is leaving Portland with petroleum on board, leaving around 7 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 1 p.m. And if you'd like to see the rest of today's ship schedule, you can find it on my website at shipreport.net, along with a podcast of this program. And you can also find that information on the Ship Report Facebook page. Well, today I'd like to do a little follow-up with you about the costs of shipping and revisit a show I did last week in which I was talking about the expenses of various aspects of running ships. And I mentioned on that show that the top two expenses on a ship were fuel, followed by personnel or people working on board, the crew. Well, it turns out I was incorrect about the personnel part, and so today I want to correct that and also share some really interesting information I learned about what it costs to run a ship. So just to warn you, like many things in the shipping industry, these figures are mind-boggling. First of all, though, let me thank Captain Chris Farrell. He's a Columbia River bar pilot who apparently listens to the Ship Report, so thank you so much. He emailed me with the info I'm about to share with you today. So this information is from a website called transportgeography.org, and it's all about the operating costs of certain kinds of merchant ships. And it serves as a good overall indicator of costs across shipping. So, a big chunk, in fact, the biggest chunk of fuel operating costs is indeed fuel. Ship fuel represents between 45 and 50% of the operating costs for a vessel. And about the only way they can cut that cost is to slow down to save fuel. That's a practice referred to in the industry as slow steaming, where ships slow down to save fuel on a long run. This can actually cut fuel consumption by quite a lot, but ships lose time, and so it's always a balancing act as to how slow is too slow. But let's use an example of a type of ship we see very often here. It's referred to in the industry as a Panamax container ship. They carry about 5,000 20-foot containers, or TEU, that's 20-foot equivalent units. And while our container ships are tending to be bigger lately in the river, We do see a lot of ships in this smaller size here, so it's a good comparison for our purposes. So a ship like that costs about $9 million a year to operate. Up to half of that cost could be fuel. After that, the next highest expense is port charges. Those are the costs that a ship incurs when it comes into port and docks, and they could be about 21% of the total operating cost per year. Now, if you're a veteran ship watcher, you know that over time, ships tend to be built larger and larger so that each ship can carry more on a given voyage. Because of the cost, there's a big incentive to use larger container ships, which can carry more cargo for not that much more expense. So this is called, you may have heard me mention this before, the philosophy of economies of scale. When we look at the cost of the personnel, the crew on such a ship, costs for that are way down on the bottom of the total cost chart. So actually, the costs to maintain a crew pale in comparison to costs like fuel. This huge operating expense for fuel is a big driver behind efforts to reintroduce technologies like sail and other green options for propulsion in an effort to not only create less pollution, but also to lower those costs. Now, speaking of pollution, how much pollution does a container ship create? Well, NPR reported a few years ago that container ships plying the world's waterways spewed about 1 billion metric tons of carbon dioxide into the air, which is about 3% of all greenhouse gas emissions. However, big changes happened in 2020 with the adoption of international shipping rules called IMO 2020, which now require ships to use low sulfur fuel to reduce certain types of air pollution. Public health experts estimate that IMO 2020 will prevent roughly 150,000 premature deaths and 7.6 million childhood asthma cases globally each year. And the shipping industry as a whole has committed to total decarbonization by 2050. So while it will continue to cost a lot to run ships, if the industry meets those goals, they'll be cleaner and easier on the planet. So a few more numbers about operating ships, because I just find these numbers amazing. It costs about $10,000 a day to operate a cargo ship. A Panamax container ship can consume about 63,000 gallons of marine fuel per day at speeds of 20 to 25 knots, which is a typical sea speed. That's between 23 and 28 miles per hour. Now, that consumption can drop off sharply if they slow down and go into that slow steaming mode. But it's still a lot of fuel and money spent. Those kinds of numbers, they're just mind-boggling to me, so much so that I have to look the numbers up every time I talk about them, just to make sure I'm not unintentionally exaggerating. The costs in the shipping industry are huge, and it remains how we get our 90% of everything. And many thanks to Captain Farrell for the information about ship operating costs. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.